Rather Think News podcast begins now.
Hey everybody, it's Joe from Stop and Think News. I do have some announcements to make as far as Stop and Think News goes. I am in the pre-stages of working with a couple friends to actually get their voices heard, because I feel like they both have important stories to tell, and I think they could do it in the same form that I tell you news stories every day. So I'm going to kind of, under the umbrella of Stop and Think News, I'm going to bring them in, and they will have like their own shows underneath Stop and Think News. And we're going to create them channels of their own as well, and they'll broadcast to both. So definitely keep an eye out. As I already told you a couple shows back, I also plan on having somebody writing for me as well that will be telling their story as well. And these are things just to look forward to. And if you haven't yet, please go to stopandthinknews.com. Click the newsletter sign up at the top. That's all you got to do. It's free. You'll be notified of anything that I do or don't do. You won't get an email if I don't do anything the day before. So, and some days I may not be able to, you know. But what we'll do is, you know, when they do their shows, we'll do what I've been doing and I'll blast out. It'll be in the form of, like, my blog with all the links to the show and everything that you need to access that show however you would like. So anyway, guys, really what I wanted to talk about today was just a couple things in advance of the main topic, which is going to be fairly long, because I think this is going to be something important. It happened on the 21st. It's a great speech from Chip Roy. You may or may not have seen it already, but we'll get to that in a minute. Right now, I just wanted to talk about the whole bridge collapse. Honestly, you're hearing all kinds of stories about it, and I mean, you can believe whatever you want. You're welcome to believe whatever you want. But honestly, it's not. People are literally trying to get you to believe that there were explosions on there. There weren't. And so on. There is actually plenty of footage. WJLA, ABC 7 News, WJLA from, I think, Baltimore, maybe. I don't know where they're from. But they have actual footage of it. Different types of footage of it or whatever. Different shots. Because there's apparently cameras rolling everywhere. Even better, go to First Coast News and look for the full video from them. It's First Coast News, full video, Francis Scott Key Bridge collapses in Baltimore. And it shows you the full footage. Now, what's confusing to me about this whole thing is it seems like I watched a video. I shared it to Stop and Think News on Telegram. But when it's sped up video, and it, from the way it looks to me, is the boat passes underneath the bridge, then spins back around and comes back and hits the beam. That's how it looked to me. I mean, honestly, I'm not following this story too close, but I followed it close enough to know that it's going to affect a lot in the country. It's a main shipping bridge for all the ports, of the shipping ports that they have there. But I also followed it enough to watch the full video. I fast-forwarded it because the beginning of the video is mostly nothing. It's not anything, and you can kind of drag it and see when the boat comes into frame. And honestly, what you see is a boat, it looks to me like it passes from the viewer side through underneath the bridge, spins back around, hits the column or whatever. Then you can see that part of the bridge fall, and then the rest of it gives way too. The pops that you're seeing at the top of the bridge, they have electrical wire that runs through there. And the electrical wire, obviously, is going to snap at the points of the bridge where it breaks. It's going to pull that wire and make it snap, and you're going to see a pop, an electrical pop. That's common sense. But you got people saying those were bombs and so on. It wasn't bombs. I really do not think it was bombs. Now, my question is, because in the sped-up video, you can see the lights of the boat flashing. obviously they're flashing slower than they look in the sped up video and when it really happened or whatever. So they'd have been slower flashes, but the entire lights on the ship were flashing. And it makes me wonder, did somebody remotely hack that boat to do that? And I know that sounds crazy, but all kinds of mainstream, if you're a mainstream media hound who just has to believe, listen to everything the mainstream media is, look it up on your precious Google, and you can find out, there's article after article about how cars can be hacked. Normal cars that just have chips and computers in them, not necessarily like, you know, a Tesla or something, just any normal car. And if that can happen to those, it can happen to these ships that have all these computers and everything to make sure that they're going where they need to go. I'm just saying. That's a possibility, because that's a big hit. From what everybody's saying, this is going to really affect a lot of the shipping in the country. The only way I can think of that would even remotely help on any level, but would probably be slower. And I don't know anything about around the bridge. I don't know what's on either side of the bridge. I know nothing about this area, right? Because this just happened last night, and I haven't had a whole lot of time to look into it. But the only thing I can think of that would work would be to basically, like we did here in Michigan for the longest time, from the bottom lower half to the UP, before we had the Mackinac Bridge, we used like ferries, and they're going to have something set up until that another bridge is replaced, which is going to take years, to where they can get products from the one side to the other, which the only way to do that would be shipping container boats that just kind of go back and forth. And take whatever needs to go across that way. I don't know. I don't know how easy that would be to pull off. I don't know what's on either side of that bridge. It could be homes. It could be commercial real estate where they can't bring in cranes to load shipping containers onto ships. And I don't necessarily know if that's like one of the only bridges that connects the two pieces of land either. I'm unsure of that as well. I just don't know. But I'm sure we'll find out more. Maybe somebody from Boston, if you're hearing the show, you can comment under where you hear this so that my listeners can, you know firsthand what is around the bridge. What, you know, would what I just mentioned be possible? Yeah, it wouldn't be as fast as loading it onto a truck at the port and the truck just drives right through. But you got to do what you got to do. And it definitely, supposedly, is going to affect the rest of the country to some degree. Which makes me wonder if, well, it makes me wonder if there was already something coming for the rest of the country as far as goods and products and supply chain and so on. It makes me wonder if something wasn't already coming and this gave them the excuse for it. I don't trust anything anymore. So you're going to have to, when you listen to me, my show, you're going to have to understand that. I just don't trust anything anymore, and I don't put anything past these people at this point. I have no reason to trust anything. They've given me zero reason to trust anything. One person that I do like is Chip Roy, though. And I wanted to go ahead and play this. It's about 43 minutes long. I'll cut in and stuff. But what he's going to be speaking on is the $1.2 trillion government spending package that I was complaining about the other day. Because they use that to put their pork BS into. The Democrats did, of course. The Democrats did. And the Republicans were given no time to pass to read this bill. They had like 24 to 48 hours to even read it, which honestly, most of these people have large staffing in their buildings and so on. And that these people could be pouring through it and, you know, earmarking all the red flags that were put into it. Not necessarily the red flag law. That would have been one of the red flags, obviously. Or not law, but the strengthening of. And they could have had this pulled off, I think, if everybody came together, but nobody cares. They have all their little pet projects they got to fund. We're going to be sending everybody and their brother money again, like I said would happen. They got to pay themselves, right? They got to be paid. I mean, we sent all that money to Ukraine, but they need to get paid, right? Because they do such a great job. So let me go ahead and play Chip Roy. I am going to play whatever, you know, the whole thing, because I feel like it's important for you to understand what was put into this bill, because nobody's talking about it. Nobody is, hardly anybody is talking about what's in this bill. Little key points that they've picked up on. You might get a couple podcasters or news figures talking about, but take a listen to this. And this is from Forbes Breaking News. And it, like I said, it's titled Republican Chip Roy Issues Epic Takedown of $1.2 Trillion Government Spending Package Swamp Bus. So here we go.
I thank the speaker. I come here to the floor recognizing the state of affairs that we find ourselves in, given the extent to which the President of the United States and his radical progressive Democrat allies on the other side of the aisle here and in the Senate are continuing an assault on the well-being of the American people with open borders, with inflationary spending, with radical environmental agenda policies that are regulating the economy to death, driving up the cost of goods sold, and overall diminishing America in the world. There's no other way to view it than intentional. That kind of an assault on the well-being of the American people ought to be, deserves to be met with the kind of resistance that the American people who sent us here to represent them expect. The American people who sent at least Republicans here to be in the majority to stand athwart the radical policies of the Biden administration, supported by our radical progressive Democrats here in this House and in the Senate. They sent us here to stand athwart those policies. Therefore, it is our duty, it is incumbent upon us to actually do so. Last year, when given the majority, a number of us set out to change the way the House of Representatives works, or should I say, was not working. We set out to make sure that bills can be read, that you have 72 hours to review a bill. We set out to ensure that you would have adequate and varied representation on the various committees. We set out to ensure that there would be a process by which we could move appropriations bills out of committee onto the floor, from the floor to the Senate, so that we could pass individual bills, try to restore what we might call regular order. We set out to do that last year. We passed 7 appropriations bills out of the House, 3 more from the committees down to the floor. 2 others were ready to go. We passed H.R. 2, the strongest border security bill that has ever been moved off of the House floor. We passed Limit Save Grow, which would elevate the debt responsibly while making policy changes to try to drive down the amount of debt that we're racking up on a daily and weekly basis. Those are the things we're able to accomplish as Republicans when we were honoring the commitments that we made to our constituents and we were not hiding. Unfortunately, today, Republicans are hiding. They are hiding behind the fear of so-called shutdown, and hiding behind the so-called razor-thin majority to pass a massive omnibus spending bill, the second part of a 2-part omnibus spending bill that blows past the spending caps passed on a bipartisan basis, increases the spending over the very levels perpetuated by Nancy Pelosi that virtually every Republican in this chamber opposed not 15 months ago. They are about to pass legislation that will blow past those caps and spend more money. And they are going to do so knowing full well that we are not achieving the vast majority, barely any, of the policy changes that we fought for all last year in the appropriations process.
So basically he's saying they tried to go back to the basic roots of when Trump was president, where, all right, if we're going to spend here, we need to cut here. If we're going to spend here, we need to cut here. If we're going to, you know, kind of like with Trump's regulation stance. If you're going to make new regulations, you're going to cut old regulations. So he's about to break down everything. And keep in mind, Republicans voted for this. He seems to know what's in the bill, which means he had staff that was who poured through it, because he sure as hell didn't pour through 1,000 pages, how long it was, on his own. So he had staff pour through it and give him his talking points as to what's wrong with the bill. You heard him say they're going to spend more than what they were even agreed to on this one. And they are. Wait till you hear what's in this bill that you're paying for and your grandchildren are going to pay for. This is trillions of dollars, $1.2 trillion. This will be owed forever. And they just printed the money. And here we go.
That's the actual truth. We are going to abandon the efforts that we set out to change this chamber last year, and we are doing it violently. We got a bill this morning that is over 1,000 pages long, $1.2 trillion, and we're expected to pore over it in one day, in 24 hours. We are still uncovering ridiculous uses of taxpayer funds. The American people are about to learn what some of those are. But not only are we abandoning what we accomplished last year to try to take the House back, make the House work again, but we're abandoning the people of this country, the hardworking American people right now today who are looking at their Congress and saying, what are you doing? The ones who sent us here, who are seeing their country being taken away from them right before their very eyes and seeing their way of life being eviscerated. This isn't about holding on to power. We are not sent here to accumulate power. We are not sent here to run for re-election. We are sent here to do something. We are sent here to fight for the people who sent us here. And what we're doing right now is looking at a country that we love, a country that is being destroyed, throwing up our hands as Republicans and saying that apparently it's just not worth the fight because we might have a poll that looks bad because of shutdown.
If you're against the government shutdown, you're part of the problem in this country, by the way. We had it happen under Trump. Wouldn't your life change? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing changed. It wasn't until COVID when they really shut the government down. You had to make appointments to get into the Secretary of State. Well, guess what? Our Secretary of State here thought that was great, and you still have to do that. COVID's long gone. They just want you to have to jump through hoops to be able to access them. But don't worry. Asking for an ID when you go to vote is racist, even though I live in a predominantly white area who has to call ahead and set up an appointment to go renew their license, get boat tags, ORV stickers, whatever you need that you get from there, license plates. You have to now, last I knew, unless they changed it finally because people revolted, which we don't do here anymore, you have to call ahead. But when the government shut down under Trump, everybody saw you don't really need your government open. Because they're not really doing anything for you anyway. So here, let's go on.
That's what we're telling the American people. Instead of using the power of the purse, to force change, as was stated by James Madison in Federalist Paper 58, the House of Representatives can not only refuse, but they alone can propose the supplies requisite for the support of government. They, in a word, hold the purse, that powerful instrument, all the overgrown prerogatives of the other branches of government. This power over the purse may, in fact, be regarded as the most complete and effectual weapon with which any constitution can arm the immediate representatives of the people for obtaining a redress of every grievance and for carrying into effect every just and salutary measure. Those were the words of James Madison, the father of the United States Constitution, when he was arguing for the adoption of the Constitution. He was saying that this body, the one that I'm standing in right now, the House of Representatives, through the power of the purse, is the only body in the world that can restrain the power of the executive branch, the President of the United States.
It's apparently the only body in the world where, you know, Democrat staffers can, you know, have gay sex and embarrass the entire country, but whatever.
We, this body, in concert with the Senate, of course, hold the power to check an out-of-control president. Is the President of the United States and the people who work for him in this administration out of control? Yes. How do we know this? Because the President of the United States goes to the microphone and says he's going to ignore the United States Supreme Court when the Supreme Court says you cannot do what you're doing against the law with respect to student loan bailouts. The President of the United States is ignoring his duty and his oath to the Constitution to defend the border of the United States using policies meant for very narrow exceptions for asylum and parole to blow open the border and endanger the American people. That is tyrannical activity, an abuse of power, endangering the people that we represent. That's what is happening. That's what the president is doing. A president who has abused his power at the FBI and in the intelligence agencies. That's what's happening. And what is the response from Republicans? Crickets, a yawn, a whimper, because they're afraid that someone might cry shutdown. They're afraid that they might lose their precious, that election certificate that I think apparently is what gives some people in this body their worth. But an election certificate is only as good as the people that we are here to represent.
And that is the second time he's driven that home in different ways, he said it. They put on the show. They put on the show. Right? You don't see anybody else but this guy coming out and saying, here's what's in the bill. And this is, you know, because half of these, it's a uni party. Half of these people voted with Democrats to pass this nonsense. Now, when I say they didn't have staff roll through it, I guarantee most of these Republicans that did vote for it did have staff roll through it. And they knew exactly what they were voting for when they voted it. But like he's saying, they're there for the theatrics that they think will get them elected. Right? Look at Rand Paul. Look at Rand Paul. Used to love the guy. Told you that a couple shows ago, if not the last show. I was ready to vote for him over Trump. Didn't really like the way Trump was at the time. Didn't really like him talking over people and arguing and stuff like that. Got used to it, and I could appreciate it now, and I understand he was probably practicing for what he saw coming. But at the end of the day, what does Rand Paul do? He talks a lot. How many times have we heard him say Fauci needs to be in jail? Well, why isn't he in jail? You have the power to do that. You and your colleagues literally have the power to do that. You have the power to make that happen. And you don't. And like I said in my, I think last show, he, you know, they parade people from Apple and Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these people through. And these people bald-faced lie to Congress and tell them they're doing things that they are, or they tell them they're not doing things that they are doing. And they tell them all these things that are untrue. And, you know, as a user on any platform, you can see that it's untrue unless you have your head firmly planted up your ass, which, you know, leftists love the censorship that goes on. They love that we get censored because it's not happening quite to them yet. It's not happening to them yet, quite yet. You know, it will. It will eventually, because that's what these power-hungry people do. They silence all opposition. You see how they talk about largely what are their own protesters protesting pro-Palestine. They label them pro-Hamas. The only time that I've ever seen them, one of the few times, rather, that I've ever seen them label them pro-Palestine protesters is when they were destroying something, so that your brain associates the people destroying stuff with Palestinians. Beyond that, it was always pro-Hamas, which is the terrorist people that the terrorist organization that has taken over the area and kind of controls the people in the area because it's a terrorist organization. And, you know, these people have watched Israeli soldiers shoot their children in the head for walking too close to the wall. You don't believe me? Look it up. I'm not going to go through all that. Right? But that's how they treat even people in their own party that don't get in line. They label them that way. Pro-terrorist, because they're protesting for the people of Palestine. Anyway, let's move on.
And they sent us here to do something, to change the place. Today, in Texas, more than 100 illegal aliens charged past the Texas National Guard. The state I represent is on fire and trying to pick up the pieces as the federal government refuses to do its job, and we saw it unfold today in real time. And what are my Republican colleagues going to do? Give the president of the Department of Homeland Security and the impeached Homeland Security Secretary more money. Someone explain that to me. Someone explain to me how any Republican can over the next 6 months go out and campaign against Joe Biden's open borders when they're writing the check. And they're going to do it tomorrow, right here on the floor of this body. They're going to write him the check and say, here you go, Mr. President. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Yes, I inserted Animal House. This bill does not include one single policy necessary to secure the border. And I'm tired of hearing Republicans go to the microphone, whether they're in leadership or rank and file, and say otherwise, because it's not true. I've heard Republican leadership go down and talk about ICE beds. Oh, don't worry, Chip, we increased the ICE beds. Are you telling the American people that the ICE memos that this administration have in full force basically make it impossible for ICE to do their job? That those beds will therefore not be filled? Oh, but Chip, that's for future President Trump to use. President Trump can increase the ICE beds to what he had when he was president before, which was as many as 57,000 beds. This is nonsense. It's nothing. But it's worse than nothing. It's actually worse than nothing. Because my same Republican colleagues who go out to the microphone and say, we are going to increase Border Patrol. First of all, good luck recruiting more Border Patrol agents right now. They can't even achieve the numbers that they're currently at 17 or 18,000. No, in our bill we say, oh, don't worry, we're going to be at 22,000 Border Patrol agents. Guess how our Democratic colleagues characterize that amazing feat of negotiation that Republicans carried out. They characterized it as expediting the processing of more illegals because, you know what? At least they're honest about it. That is exactly what it would do. You're going to give more funding for more Border Patrol agents to process more illegal aliens who are overrunning our border, overrunning our cities, overrunning our hospitals, overrunning our jails, overrunning our schools, driving mass crime into our communities, resulting in the death of Lake and Riley, resulting in the death of Kayla Hamilton, resulting in the death of too many people for me to sit here and mention. And Republicans are going to go cower in the corner tomorrow, wring their hands, and say, we can't talk about a shutdown. That's what's going to happen. And meanwhile, we're going to go out this summer and do what? 80th anniversary of D-Day. Let's go give some speeches over in Normandy. What, you're so proud of those young men who walked into a wall of bullets and went up a cliff so that you could give your country away? With billions of dollars to an administration that's going to allow every single thing they fought for to get whittled away.
And that's pretty powerful and very accurate. That's very, very accurate. And that's what they did. They voted for this bill. And he's exactly right. Adding more Border Patrol agents who work directly for the president isn't going to change anything. They process them. They let them free in the country with a time to appear for a judge. I know you've heard this 100 times, but we need to address it. And then they're free in the country, and half of them, more than half of them, according to actual statistics, don't even show up to the judge. So they're just free in our country. We don't really know who they are. They could have given the wrong name. They're, you know, illegal aliens. They're undocumented people, or however you want to say it to make you feel better about destroying the country with migration, as they call it. Climate migration. They can't make up their minds exactly what they want to label it for or under. But here you, there you have it. Yeah, like processing more. That, what's that going to do? They had Texas's National Guard putting up razor wire with the Border Patrol being allowed to cut it if they had to save somebody. What the fuck are we saving them for? We don't know who they are. Okay, I get it. If it's a little kid, whatever. You take them out of the water and put them back on the Mexico side. Oh, you're so heartless. Well, I'm sorry. My kids have lived here their entire lives. They're paying taxes here. They were taught with the horrible public school system that we have here. These people, these kids, everybody, they just get to cross and just be part of it all. What is the point? What about everybody that came here legally? Anyway, let me go. I'm gonna go on too long. Let me let him talk some more.
That's the truth. Every Republican tomorrow and Democrat, every Republican tomorrow who votes for this abomination of a bill will personally own the mass release of illegal aliens in violation of law because you're funding it, on top of 4.5 million releases so far and almost 2 million gotaways so far. You vote for this, you own it. You own the release of illegal aliens with notices to appear in court as far out as 2035 and growing, and limited knowledge to where they even are. You own it. You own the unlawful mass parole programs, the use of the CBP One app. The funding you're voting for tomorrow will fund that. Of over 1 million individuals, including the known member of a Venezuelan prison gang who violently murdered Lake and Riley. You own that. It's not good enough to pass a bill last week and named after Lake and Riley, and then come here and write the check to the very people who are responsible for allowing it to occur. You own bringing the chaos in Haiti to the shores of America via the Cuban and Haitian and Nicaraguan and Venezuelan parole program. You own that. The Haitian migrant who raped a 15-year-old disabled girl who was here as a migrant in Massachusetts. You're funding that. The dismantling of the migrant protection protocols that were effective under the previous president, you're funding that. You're funding the halt of the wall construction. You're funding the legal attacks on the state of Texas for standing up to try to secure our border, even as our National Guard get overrun. You are funding that. If you vote for this bill tomorrow, Texas has had to spend over $12 billion of its own money. I can tell you what you're not funding. You're not funding paying Texas back. And I'm talking to my Texas delegation friends now. Are you literally going to go home to Texas when your own National Guard are getting overrun? Your own state is not getting paid back. We're not getting any policy. Don't complain about it while you're funding it. Woke DEI offices, Biden's climate change executive orders undermining our warfighting capabilities. You're funding it. The Deputy Inspector General for Diversity and Inclusion, Extremism in the Military. You're funding it. You own it. The Department of Defense's ability to classify Americans' communication as misinformation. You're funding it. You own it. State and foreign operations are part of this bill. We're going to export the radical progressive Democrats' woke agenda abroad, and you're going to pay for it. While we rack up $1 trillion of debt every 100 days, you're going to take that borrowing, undermine your own dollar, drive up your own inflation, funding the bureaucrats who are carrying out this agenda. Congratulations, America. That's what your House of Representatives is doing, and that is precisely what you will have Republicans campaigning against after they funded it.
And he's right. He's right. And it's sick, isn't it? It's sick. We don't have a say in any of it. $1 trillion a week? Is that what he said? And this is for $1.2 trillion. government spending package, and they're spending that in a week. Like, what did this do other than put money towards special pet projects and introduce a new red flag law enhancement system at the federal level? Literally everything that it sounds like is going towards is to destroy the country.
After they own it, I will give credit where it is due. Republican leadership, led by the Speaker, negotiated to defund UNRWA. Well, it's about dang time. Some of us were calling for that 3 years ago when we introduced legislation to do it. We had 8 Republicans who voted against defunding UNRWA in September in the appropriations package. But guess what? October 7th is one of the most horrific attacks on one of our friends in the history. And we realized what many of us already knew, UNRWA was right there involved. UNRWA was funding it. The United Nations, I don't know, World Refugee, they were funding it. So congratulations. We defunded an entity that is funding terrorists against our friends Israel. Good. Let's put one over here in the win column, this green checkbox. Congratulations, Republicans, you did it. You did something that you can actually go sell. But, sorry to say, you're still funding the World Health Organization, which wants to take away American sovereignty, that worked to force COVID, tyranny on the American people, force it down the throats of the American people, and in the process of negotiating a new pandemic treaty that would massively expand its reach, you funded it. Congratulations, you own it. You own the World Health Organization. You own the dystopian United Nations Population Fund, targeted at basically exterminating people. Congratulations, you own it. And again, to all you social conservative groups out there, thanks. The Gender Equity and Equality Action Fund and LGBTQ envoys, border security for Jordan and Pakistan. You're funding border security for Jordan and Pakistan, but you're not doing anything to secure the border of the United States.
Boom. Again, really. See? And this goes on and on and on all the time. We don't need to be funding Israel. We don't need to be funding Ukraine. We don't need to fund a single other country. We need to fix ours. We drive on roads that are falling apart. I've said this. We drive on bridges where there's chunks of cement falling out. Pay attention when you're driving to your surroundings more if you don't know this and don't notice this. To the point where it's a meme. To the point where people laugh about how bad our roads are. That are supposedly working to pay for that, right? We can't secure our own borders with any of this, you know, money that will be gone in a week, it sounds like. Or just over. But we're securing other countries' borders. They need a secure border, but we don't. What's wrong with this picture? I guess we're going to find out soon enough, because I got a really bad feeling that we're going to see some more events carried out, let's say, from these wonderful people crossing at our border. And I'm sure it'll be downplayed as though it's no big deal. It'll be no big deal. Anyway, let's move on.
You own it. The Climate Czar office, formerly occupied by John Kerry, flitting around the planet in his private planes. You paid for it. You own it. You're funding it. $3.8 billion for the migration and refugee assistance programs while our southern border is not secure. Think about that. Again, to my Republican colleagues who vote for this bill, you're going to, I know you are, people go follow you around. You're going to campaign against all of these things. I guess you're going to go all in Texas Hold'em style on President Trump and say, well, it's going to take President Trump to save us. How's that separation of powers thing working out for you? Did you skip that part of civics, that we're a co-equal branch of government? Oh, but Chip, we can't do that. We need a president to save us.
And that's exactly right. A president to save us. They're betting on Trump coming in to fix their mess that they're too weak to fix themselves. Because they want re-election, like he said. And that's so accurate. All the speeches, all the bloviations. We just sit there, we give these speeches, we show up with Trump, we give our speeches, then we get to Washington, D.C., and we do the exact opposite. We got about, 24 minutes in, so we got about another 20 minutes. And I want you to hear all of this, so take a listen.
Why the hell are you in Congress? We're actually supposed to be more important than the President of the United States. That's why we're Article One. But we're too chicken to use the power, the most powerful tool that we have. These guys can't do what they're doing to the American people and to our country without the money to do it. And not only are we giving them the money, we're giving them more money, and we're borrowing to do it at extraordinary rates. Does anybody be reminded that we are now spending more on our interest on the debt than we are on defense this year? But all of the hawks in here who are totally happy selling out our country vote by vote so they can go home and say they brought home a troop pay raise, great. But you're now spending more on interest than you are on the Pentagon. And in 2 years, you're cracking $1 trillion in interest. The president's budget that he just sent to us has us spending more on interest over the next decade every year than we do on defense. Congratulations. Republicans, you own it. How about the FBI headquarters? Good job, Republicans. You went out and campaigned when we passed the last omnibus bill and said, we got cuts to the FBI. Went out and sold that. First of all, it was bogus. The vast majority of the cuts came from one earmark from a building in Alabama that Richard Shelby got last Congress. He's no longer here to defend, so you axed it and then claimed you had some massive cut to the FBI. That's called swamp politics. But now, in this omnibus spending bill, guess what? We go ahead and fund the new FBI headquarters. So who cares that the FBI just massively spied on the American people? By the way, we haven't done anything about that except for extend their powers through the continuation of FISA without actually putting in a warrant to protect warrantless searches. Oh, we haven't done that yet. Put that over there as another thing Republicans own, continued spying on Americans without warrants to protect them. Good job. What, are you going to go check that campaign box this year? We're going to go stop, make sure that FISA is no longer abused by the FBI. We're going to protect you. But we're not going to do it when we have the power to do it. 200 million dollars to the FBI for its new headquarters. We don't prohibit the Treasury from establishing a central bank digital currency, which we did in the House bill. Now somebody tell me, how can you not negotiate to stop the formation of a central bank digital currency? One of the most pernicious assaults on freedom that you could possibly have. We couldn't even stand up as Republicans to demand that that stop.
So it's going to fund the central bank digital currency, which will eventually lead to China-like thought, mind, and just autonomy control of yourself. The government will now be in charge. It's not a conspiracy theory. They're already doing it in China. And we funded it. You'll see who soon. Who funded it? Who helped the Democrats with all their wonderful agendas that you didn't vote for them. You didn't vote for those agendas. You didn't vote to pass this bill. Here, take a listen.
We passed it here in the House. The Senate didn't want it, apparently, or the Biden administration didn't want it. So in our grand negotiation, we didn't even do that. Do you know what a central bank digital currency could do? it can totally shut your life down based on whatever they choose to prioritize. Using too much gas because you didn't get an electric vehicle? Nope, sorry, we're shutting you down. Buy too much ammo this month? Nope, shutting you down. The Chi-Coms do this on a regular basis. We're trying to get in front of that, thinking that maybe the basic foundational principles in the Constitution matter. But nope, we couldn't even negotiate that. So congratulations, Republicans. You own the continued ability of the executive branch to work up the formation and creation of a central bank digital currency. Congratulations, you own it. No prohibition on the funds to invest in so-called ESG in the Federal Thrift Savings Plan, which we had gotten adopted, got punted. No prohibition on funds for federal employee health insurance plans to cover the cost of transgender-affirming care. Guess what, Republicans? You own it. You're paying for it. Go home to your colleague, your constituents, and explain to them how excited you are to take their tax dollars and then add to that a bunch of borrowing to fund transgender-affirming care. Good job. You own that. No prohibition on implementing Biden's climate change EOs. No government-wide prohibition on vaccine mandates. A few partial ones. We always want to be fair. There was a note in the bill that moderately defunded the COVID vaccine mask mandates. There was some modest defunding of the Wuhan lab in the DOD bill, but in the vast majority of it over at HHS, all were the stuff in there that was carried out. Right there, still there. Congratulations. We shut down the biggest economy in the history of the world. We racked up $8 trillion of debt. We put our kids behind, now to the tune of trillions of dollars of economic harm, all because we allowed the Wuhan lab to be abused, which we funded. And guess what? We're still funding it. Republicans own it. Don't go out and campaign against the China virus or the Wuhan virus or the Wuhan lab. You own it. You're funding it right now, today. You're doing it. House Republicans have aggressive cuts to HHS last year. But now we're going to give a $1 billion increase. We're still funding the student loan Ponzi scheme. You go out and you go criticize President Biden and the student loan program, ignoring the Supreme Court. You're funding it. Gender-affirming surgeries and drugs. You're funding it. Research for the aborted fetal tissue. You're funding it. HHS and DOL DEI offices. You're funding it. President Biden's radical anti-worker agenda. You're funding it. You're funding the Wuhan lab. Again, I'd like to give a shout out to the social conservative groups out there for being so invested in life and DEI and all the issues involving, say, aborted fetal tissue, that you're doing nothing about this bill because you like power. Earmarks. We banned earmarks at one point. The previous omnibus spending bill had something like 6,000 or something earmarks. I don't even know. I can't, it's hard to keep count. This one, and it had a bunch more because it was transportation. Everybody loves to get their little bridges and their roads and stuff, but they're always like bike paths and all sorts of crazy stuff, named after crazy people, using your money. I'm not sure where that is in Article 1, Section 8, but whatever. The bill contains 1,400 earmarks, this one does, for $2 billion. Now you think, oh, it's just an earmark. I'm a member of Congress. I don't want to let a bureaucrat decide this. I get to decide how this is spent. I get to bring home something to my district that is so critically important to the well-being of my constituents. Because that's what they all say. That's what they say when they bring back earmarks. Chip, we know how to do this better than the bureaucrats. Why would you stand in the way of these all-knowing congressmen to make the right decisions for their constituents rather than turning over that power to the bureaucrats? Okay. Let's see how that's working out for you, America. $156,000 for the Hartford Gay and Lesbian Health Collective, an organization self-described as champions of, I don't know how many letters I got to put here together, LGBTQIA+ equity, and provides training on LGBTQ+ cultural competency and accessing healthcare for LGBTQ+ youth. Well, that's a good use of money. $1.1 million for an EV innovation hub. While EVs pile up on all the car dealerships around the country, while we fund the Chinese to make sure that they're enriched, while we kill natural gas and kill energy in this country and make it harder for Americans to work. But I digress. We did a really cool bill today on energy, so everything's good. $2 million, Oregon Clinic that provides hormone therapy to kids. $850,000 for LGBTQ senior housing in Massachusetts. Yes, gay senior housing. Good job, Republicans. That's what you're funding. $400,000 for Briar Patch Youth Services in Wisconsin. One of their programs is called Teens Like Us, LGBTQIA2S, whatever that is, with a gender-affirming clothing program for ages 13 to 18. You're funding it. You own it. $400,000 to the Garden State Equality Education Fund in New Jersey. Helps minors transition genders, promote biological boys playing girls' sports and using the same restrooms. Congratulations, Republicans. You own it. $5 million for Mary's Center for Maternal and Child Care in Maryland. Does transgender procedures. Quote, Mary's Center can serve as your home base during the transition process. Congratulations, Republicans. And again, special shout out to all you great social conservative groups out there just whistling Dixie while this is happening. $1 million for the Inner City Muslim Network, which calls for the destruction of Israel. So guess what? We're going to go send an invitation for Bibi Netanyahu to come address a joint session right here in this body, and I'm sure we'll get up and everybody will wear a little Israel pin and we'll go, yay, Israel, we love Israel. And, you know, then let's go give $1 million to the Inner City Muslim Network, which calls for the destruction of Israel. Good job, Republicans. You own it. $1.6 million.
Is that not the clowniest of clown things? I'm not pro-Israel, but, like, I don't really pick a side on that whole thing. But seriously, yeah, he's got a major point there, what he just said. So you're funding an anti-Israel organization, but you're also claiming to be pro-Israel. Make it make sense.
For Cape Cod electric buses. Cape Cod electric buses. $350,000 for theater programs. $567,000 for an inclusive playground. What is an inclusive playground? We're 34. When I was a kid, an inclusive playground was a bunch of bars that basically were about 150 degrees in the summer heat that you scalded yourself on while you're hanging up over a bunch of asphalt and taking your life into your own hands. It was equal stupid, but fun. This, I don't even know what an inclusive playground is. But there he is, $567,000 of money printed right out of thin air. Here you go.
An inclusive playground, knowing the way the left is probably a playground in which, you know, pedophiles can come as long as they cross-dress, though. They can't. They have to look like the opposite sex with 5 o'clock shadow and, you know, purple eyeliner and rainbow hair to be able to come to the playground and be included. But pedophiles welcome. I'm sure that'll be a thing.
$650,000 for the Dartmouth Hitchcock Nashua, New Hampshire also provides late terms abortion. Shout out again to the social conservative groups, completely MIA. $740,000 for increasing diversity in state hiring for the state of Maryland. Maryland can't figure out how to fund their own diversity programs without getting a federal grant out of printed money? $870,000 for a group that wants to defund the police in Connecticut. So, Republicans who get up and rant about police being defunded are going to fund the defunding of police in Connecticut. You can't make this stuff up. You can't. $655,000 for Massachusetts Women of Color Coalition, Inc. I don't even know what that is. I could keep going. The American people did not send us to Washington to continue down the road of destruction for the greatest country in the history of the world, for which so many men and women have died to defend and protect it. cherry blossoms are all exploding. We go walk down by the tidal basin. We walk down by the Jefferson Memorial. We'll read all those words. We walk across by the Lincoln Memorial, go across the Memorial Bridge to what? 400,000 tombstones on the other side of the Potomac for those who either actually gave the last full measure of devotion or were willing to do it and survived and came back and were buried there. What did those 400,000 give that last full measure of devotion for? It wasn't for this. And yet Republicans campaign on it all the time and then fund it.
All right, so you get the picture. That is the majority of it. We are at 37 minutes and it's 43 minutes. He closes it up. And I think it's important that you hear who the list of Republicans is that signed off on this. So here is the list. The list is as follows. John Boozman of Arkansas. Katie Britt, the woman that, gave this rebuttal for the GOP about Biden's so to speech. We have Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins, of course, of Maine, John Cornyn, of course, of Texas, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Deb Fisher of Nebraska, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, of course, Chuck Grassley. Aren't we decoding his corn? Oh, wait, no, it's winter now. We got to wait till next year. He definitely is giving us code in his Twitter posts about corn, if you ask some people. But there he is, of Iowa, signing off on it. John Hoeven of North Dakota, Cindy Hyde Smith of Mississippi, Mitch McConnell, of course, of Kentucky, Jerry Moran, or Moron, of Kansas, Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma, Lisa Murkowski, of course, of Alaska, Mitt Romney, of course, of Utah, Mike Rounds of South Dakota, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, John Thune of South Dakota, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Roger Wicker of Mississippi, and Todd Young of Indiana. And that there is the list of people. I hope you were paying attention. Play this back. Write them down. If you find them in your state, I would suggest maybe not voting for them because they're lying to you at this point. They're lying to you at this point if they run on any of the things you just heard mentioned. And that's not even everything. You heard him say, I could go on. They signed off on this. And now they're going to want to run on these exact issues that they funded just to get $1.2 trillion printed of your money because you are already paying for it and you will be paying for it until you die unless we figure something else out. Anyway, guys, that's what I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed that speech as much as I did. Until next time, be safe, be prepared, just try not to be a jerk about it, and I will talk to you very, very soon.